Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. I am he, and he is I, Bo Morgan. They call me Squidbilly. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon, former high school offensive line coach as well. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And she is the queen of tofu, the first lady of Atlanta baseball, the leader of Allie's Army, and our resident, what would you say, marathon runner, Miss Allie Mack.
That's me.
And Dylon is the most vanilla man in radio and has the worst wave of any human being known to man. But we love him anyways because he's a Drake fan. Dylon Matthews. And this is the morning shift.
Attaboy. Now we're talking. It's not the worst wave. It just doesn't fit him.
No, it's bad.
It's
bad.
Just,
it's awkward. It's stiff.
It's just a bad pairing. That's all.
It might. It's actually really bad form. I think that's the thing that bothers me, is he thinks he's got good form with his way, but it's terrible.
We'll have to post a video of that at some point.
Your hand's moving too much, and your wrist is actually too stiff.
You got to loosen up the wrist a little bit. You also, and me, we both need to apologize to Mike Johnson today, because I was putting that replay together last night, and I text Dylan. I said, we botched this so bad.
I told Mike in his ear, as the intro was playing, that I was like, what happened was, what I noticed when Allie sent me the audio of how bad we botched, you know, who buzzed in first. You said your name so quick, and your name ends with a E, so like it's like Mike, and it ends so quickly. It's still like staccato, I guess, for lack of a better term. And Bo kind of like goes like Bo, he elongates it, and so my ears were playing tricks on me, thinking Bo got in there first. This is a terrible excuse, but it's honestly the truth.
This excuse is maybe worse than your top five list and your wave. I mean, just say, hey, we blanked it.
Yeah, that's all we got to say, man.
I'm sorry, Mike. I blanked it. I'm sorry.
It's okay to admit you made a mistake.
It wouldn't have helped me in the end. That's the saving grace. If I'd have lost because of that, I'd have been irate.
It actually saved you.
It actually got you a point. Yeah, it actually got you a
point. Lost me a point, got you a point. And then I answered, my name is Shrek, which didn't help me either.
Shrek! Oh.
Don't get
such an intense situation, you forget your name in that moment.
Yeah, Yeah, that was my boat ramping with the trailer backing up, which somebody sent us a video of like what looked like an 8-year-old on steroids, and that kid backed the boat up like nobody's. But now in his defense, there was nobody there, and it was only one ramp, but he still did it like a boss.
Like a boss. I was impressed by that kid. I saw that video too on the Twitters, and that kid just it's like a booster seat. Right, he just climbs in the seat and he just backs that thing on in. I was like, that guy has been training on a power wheel.
Dang.
You know what I mean?
All right.
That thing was legit.
Good for him. Well, we have a very stacked show today, 6:40. We've got a rookie report. this is hard to believe, but somebody in this room forgot we were on the radio this week. And I have audio evidence of that I'm going to be playing at 6:40 today in the rookie report. Hint, it's someone in this room.
Wow. Probably me then. And I'm just curious of what I did or didn't say and how I still have a job.
7:40, we've got Fair or Foul Friday, and 8:20, Grant McCauley will join us to talk about these Braves. But right now, we're going to dive into Jesse Bates making the top 10 list. It's the top 10 safeties, according to NFL execs and scouts. Jesse came in at number 4. Are you guys good with that spot?
No, not really. I don't think he's just the fourth best safety in football. I think Jesse Bates is top two easily. I know it's look all of these, you know, and Jeremy Fowler, who did it, is pretty good. He's got Kyle Hamilton at one and Brian Branch two and Xavier McKinney ahead of them. I don't believe that it's Xavier McKinney is above, and I think he took a poll, by the way.
Ding.
Where's the German lady at, Dylan? I think he's probably, I'm a little bit, I don't know what to think of Kyle Hamilton, because I think Kyle Hamilton is really good, but I also think he has moments where he gets a little too much credit. I think he has moments where he has cost him with some boneheaded plays and kind of just, you know, he also has a better defense in front of him too.
Yeah, it is funny when you have the number one ranking of a player in the NFL and the first sentence says he gets the benefit of the doubt despite a production dip. It's like, what do you mean? Like, what are we talking about, the benefit of the doubt despite a production dip? And obviously Kyle Hamilton, I think he missed one game last year. I remember him like being a comeback story at some point in last year's season, and it was like right around the playoff push and everything like that. He's a good player, and there's no doubt about that. Brian Branch is obviously a guy that you know, has been somebody that has ascended very, very quickly through the safety rankings.
I don't even feel like Brian Branch sometimes plays safety.
No, and that's what my next statement was going to be, is like, I'm not sure where exactly he fits in that defense, though. He's kind of that, like, super nickel kind of box player at times that kind of, you know, they can kind of be in a three safety look from the times I've seen Brian Branch.
Who was the, remind, and I can't believe I've forgotten his name, but who was the Texas cornerback that that we talked about? I talked about maybe wanting him here. And that he kind of plays all over. That's what Brian Branch reminds me of.
Oh, the college player. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that came out in the draft this year, and I apologize because his name is just boom. But, like, I feel like they use him the way the Lions use Brian Branch.
Yes.
You know what bothers me the most about this whole little thing, Allie, is there was voters. And the voters gave their top – here, I'll read it real quick. The vote, but the process was voters gave us their 10 best players at a position. Then they compiled the results and ranked the candidates based on the number of top 10 votes, composite average, dozens of interviews, research, film study from Matt Bowen, and then in total more than 70 voters submitted a ballot. Okay? I'm going to read this to you. Jesse Bates, highest ranking, number two. Everybody else in front of him had the highest ranking of number one. Lowest ranking. Unranked. So I want to know who it is that thought that Jesse Bates wasn't one of the 10 best safeties in football. Because I would love to have a conversation. I would love to sit down and watch film with that person and say, show me 10 guys that do it better than Jesse Blank Bates. Like, that's unfathomable to me.
Yeah. And look, man, it is what it is. At the end of the day, when you look at these rankings and you talk about a guy like Jesse Bates, the bottom line is that there's going to be some people that look at these kind of rankings, guys, and they go through stats and they go, well, he's this in interceptions over the last three seasons, or he's this in interceptions since he's entered the NFL, or this in pass breakups. To me, though, the biggest thing, and I know that we come at this from a Falcons fandom standpoint, but what Jesse Bates does for the Atlanta Falcons defense is really immeasurable. I mean, he is the captain of that defense. He's the quarterback of that defense, and you don't always see that in a safety position, but he is the unquestioned leader of everything that they are doing. I know that, you know, we talk about the green sticker, the guy who's got the microphone in his helmet. We talk about guys like Caden Ellis who kind of understand what's going on in the front seven and line guys up and maybe a vocal leader, but you correct me if I'm wrong, Bo, because you're around the team a lot more than any of us are. Jesse Bates is that guy defensively. I mean, he is that guy that everybody's going to turn to and look at. So I don't know if that plays into my thoughts about this entire ranking piece. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But by any stretch of the imagination, when you talk about leadership, you talk about stats, you talk about output on the field, you talk about availability, he's everything to the Atlanta Falcons defensively. So that's, I think, where the frustration comes in for him being at four.
Yeah, and that's it's some of what was said about him. One NFC scout said, I think he's coming to his own as a leader there, which has helped his confidence as a player. It's really I've been watching this quarterback show, and this isn't, I'm not turning this into Kirk Cousins thing, but just hear me out for a second. And I hear, every time they show video, Kirk Cousins is talking to a trainer or a, I say trainer, but it's really equipment guys is who he's talking to. You think it's a trainer, but they're equipment guys. Like Jimmy Hay has gotten more camera time, and you know Jimmy.
Attaboy, Jimmy.
And he's one of the greatest, he's one of the greatest people you'll ever be around. He's been an equipment guy with the Falcons forever. But he's talking to Jimmy Hay and then our guy Joey and like all the, like, that's the only people I ever see him talking to on this show. And I've been around things and seen interaction. Every time I see Jesse Bates, he is talking with another defensive player, normally a secondary player. And normally it's a conversation about football. I mean, I have gotten on buses multiple times after games, seen Jesse sitting, because sometimes we get, we have six buses. Sometimes they send a couple of buses early. By the time Arch and I get done with our post-game stuff, we're like literally just on a player bus. And so you pick the last bus and you just find a seat. Mike will tell you, when it's like that, the players want to sit by themselves, even if they won. So Arch and I sit there and double up, and I'm sitting there like scrunched up in the, by the window, and I look
over. Good job, by the way. Proud of you for that.
And that, well, Arch has basically led me to water on that early on in my career.
Like, there's nothing worse.
He'll be like, hey, nice word, very friendly word as my friend.
Yeah,
scoot over, and like early
on, hey, D-bag, sit right here.
And so now I've learned. I'll be like, Arch, come on, let's go. Or he'll say, and so he led me to water on that. But I don't want to get off on the side tangent, which you already are. But I'll look over there, scrunched up, and there's Jesse with his Microsoft tablet or whatever thing. You know, got to hit the sponsor. And he's sitting there going over film. Mm-hmm. Like, literally from the game. Literally already. We haven't even left the stadium, and dude is coaching other players in that secondary, and they're breaking stuff down talking about a miscommunication. That's who he is. That's why, I mean, that going on with the fact that what he created, 8 turnovers on his own last year, on his own, was responsible for 8 turnovers. But yeah, he's only the, you know, some guys said he, Buda Baker. I'm not a big Buda Baker guy. And Buda Baker didn't have one guy didn't think he was a top 10 safety yet. Jesse Bates had people that didn't think he was a top 10 safety. I just think that's erroneous.
Allie, I'm old enough to remember when, you know, they just had a printer and 3-ring binders on the sideline.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And they'd hand that to Matt during the timeouts, and Matt would just flip pages of, you know, just camera shots from the sky. And, you know, you got Jesse over here on the bus after the game watching the game film. It's insane.
And I know I'm biased.
Well, but it also makes sense, though. It's when it's freshest in your mind, but that shows his dedication to it. And we do have to put a pin in this conversation for right now. We'll dive into it a little bit more, continue this conversation about the top 10 safeties. That will be next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. You've got Mike here, Bo, Allie Mack, and Dylan. And we've got the NFL top 10 list to dive back into. But did you guys see the All-Star Game concessions that will be available at Truist starting today?
Googling now.
No, but this is my favorite thing, just so you know, at the beginning of each MLB year. I love doing this in life. I loved going over the food because it's so much fun to talk about the combinations they put together.
And
then the fact that they normally We'll charge like $60 for one of these entrees. That's also it. They're like, but you can eat it with like nine people. And it's like,
I know.
I don't go to baseball games with nine people.
Right. And I don't want other people touching my food while we're at a baseball game and I've been touching escalators. I don't want other people touching my food. So they're offering a birria hot dog. Another sandwich called, don't call it Hotlanta sandwich. They've got fried green tomato sliders, peach cobbler nachos, which actually sound delicious, and I would not share.
No. No. That sounds awful.
But they've also got this. The one notable thing to me was they have this all-star sipper. So it's a star glass or plastic glass where they put this red drink in it, probably alcoholic. But it's basically, you know, the long drinks they normally have at Truist that people are walking around with, like with neon green drinks in them.
Yeah, like hurricane-looking things.
Like, it's a very tall beverage. Yeah. I have a theory. If you drink one of those, you're probably going to get in an argument.
Well, that's how it works in Bourbon Street.
That's so good. I thought you were going to say you're probably going to be hungover. And I was like, yeah. But then an argument, that sounds even better. You're probably spot on, though.
I mean, I swear.
I think aren't they a baseball bat?
I think they are, like,
okay, yeah,
a baseball bat.
I was going to say, I've only been to one game this year, but yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a baseball bat.
So they've taken those, they've turned that into the star shape, if you want to try one of those. You also probably will get a hangover.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Unless you're young.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. Dylan probably doesn't get hangovers yet.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
So?
He's past 25.
I absolutely do.
Okay. Yeah.
And absolutely have had one before.
All right.
Just one?
He's not one.
I've had some ones where I'm like, I feel a little bit groggy, but like I was fine. But I've probably like really bad hangovers. I probably only had like one or two.
The worst is when you got to drive with one.
Yeah.
It's the worst because like, You just feel out of sorts.
Oh, God.
And I remember I had one so bad one time. I went and played golf, couldn't find my wallet. And then we had to move furniture for someone and we had to drive to Atlanta. Like, I was already living in Woodstock.
Yeah.
And literally, right there on Northside, like this bad wreck happens, like right as we're going through an intersection. And I was just like, I like tensed up. And Amy was like, you're all right. I'm like, I just need to be anywhere but this truck right now.
Dylan's not at the point, though, where you really got to think out, okay, if I have a drink today, what am I doing for the next 2 days? You know, he doesn't have to plan that out quite yet.
Nah, yeah, I'm not at that point.
The parenting life on the end of that is just awful. Like, if I just can't fathom it.
I think I found one that I like.
Okay.
The Southern Nachos.
Okay.
Pork rinds. Topped with pulled pork, baked beans, cheddar cheese sauce, and Alabama white sauce.
Oh, my God.
That actually sounds... And then the don't call it Hotlanta chicken sandwich.
I actually just love the name of that. Don't call it Hotlanta.
Seriously.
Do y'all ever see... And I don't know. I hope they're not one of our sponsors. They probably are. The billboard on the way in from the North End, that's called... It says something like Yollywood. It's referring to Atlanta as Yollywood.
I like it.
You like Yollywood?
I'm hearing it for the first time. It's kind of cute.
Well, and it's on like a billboard. Like everybody's supposed to know what Yollywood is. I'm like, nobody literally calls it Yollywood.
Ooh,
well,
this Cuban pork sounds good too.
We've been called the Hollywood of the South, so I could see where they go with Yollywood.
I remember watching, I was watching a Discovery series or something about like, you know, true crime or something. And it was like, Atlanta, the city in the forest. And I was like, the city in the forest, is it called that? And sure enough, I Google it. I'm like, wow, I've lived here like 15 years and I've never heard that.
Well, I've lived here in the 42. I've never heard that.
Yeah, the city in the forest.
I have not heard that either.
It makes sense when you think about it. Like from, you know, compared to other metropolitan cities, like there's definitely more trees in Atlanta, but
this
I don't know,
true.
Never heard of it before.
I hate Hotlanta. I hate that term. Nobody that lives here calls it Hotlanta. I mean, I don't even really think many people here call it ATL. I mean, we're Atlanta. I mean, most people that live here just call it Atlanta.
Well, ATL, I think, is a lot more digestible than Hotlanta. I just can't. And it's when artists come in and they're putting on a concert or something. They're like, what's up, Hotlanta?
No, I'm like, no, man.
Boo.
That's a great name for a chicken sandwich. I don't know how they arrived at that, but yeah, that's awesome.
So if you head over to the All-Star events this weekend, which one are you going with? The sandwich?
No, I actually might do the Cuban pork. I'm a big Cuban fan, mm-hmm. and it's got a slow-roasted pork, ham, Swiss cheese. The Dijon aioli, on pressed Cuban bread. Like that's also the steak dipper sandwich sounds really good, too. They got that with some all-Jew. Dude, there's some... all these foods sound really good, honestly, except for the peach cobbler nachos. I don't need that in my life.
No?
Cinnamon sugar tortilla chips with peach cobbler filling and whipped cream.
Yeah, I'm good. I can pat.
I'll show myself
out. I'm not a big tomato guy either. So I'll pat. I mean, even though fried green tomatoes, if I'm going to eat a tomato, is how I would eat it. No, I'm good. And I can't eat crab, so I'm off the down the Bay Burger as well.
Not your jam.
I shellfish, yeah, so... they need some calamari on here though. Nothing says like, you know, good eating, like going to a baseball park and eating calamari.
Oh my gosh. On a hot day with a beer. I don't know about that.
You don't feel awkward eating calamari at all, Squid?
Nah, man. I don't give a damn, dude. Okay.
I was just wondering.
I mean, yeesh. Hey, ain't not one bit,
man. Well,
not one bit, not one regret.
If you are heading out to any All-Star events this weekend, please enjoy the new concessions they have. They are limited, so get that star drink while you can and get in a fight that night. Getting back into the NFL's top 10 safeties, according to NFL execs, coaches, and scouts, Jesse Bates landed at number 4. You two have issue with how high he is ranked. Where should he be, in your opinion?
I think when I look at it, I think he's top two. I like Xavier McKinney. He's been a couple of different places. Obviously, he's a Bama guy. I followed kind of his deal, as is Brian Branch, now that I think about it. So two of those top three, I've followed their careers since college. Brian Branch is one of those guys that you can look just past Jesse Bates at number 5 is Kirby Joseph, who is Brian Branch's teammate. And you start pairing those two together, and you're like, dude, that's kind of – it's kind of intense when you think about two of the top 5 safeties coming from one team. I would like to see Jesse Bates at 2. I think, and honestly, I don't know that I look at Kyle Hamilton as number 1. It just, I don't know. It you're never going to be happy with where Falcons are ranked, because that's what we talk about when we talk about national media, that all of our players are always seemingly slept on for any given situation.
I think that's kind of my issue is Brian Branch. I think Brian Branch is better. I don't want to. People are going to get irritated with this comment. I'm not saying that Brian Branch is better than Kyle Hamilton, but I think he's asked to do extensively more than Kyle Hamilton in different roles on the field. And based on what I saw last year, because of the injuries, he played better with less in front of him. Kyle Hamilton plays behind one of the best front sevens in football. I mean, I disagree that how good the Ravens are up front.
Yeah.
And so I think it's easy to say, well, you know, here's one of the things that an AFC exec said about Hamilton. Great player, scheme specific. In his role, he's very good. He can't man cover and does not have elite range. That's why teams with quicker receivers have success against him. Now, we've talked about this. You don't really want your safeties have to cover receivers one-on-one anyways, but that's your top safety? That's what you put in an article about, hey, he's the best safety as a vote, but here is something that basically says he can't play. I think the best safety is a guy that could play anywhere in the league in any scheme. I think Bates fits that more. Branch fits that more than Kyle Hamilton.
Well, and we just talked about kind of the value of Jesse Bates and what he brings to this team, and I think that Kyle Hamilton's the exact same way. Let me read this passage from this article. In 2023, he was the only safety with at least 10 tackles for loss and 10 pass deflections. He added 3 sacks and 4 interceptions, yet finished second behind Antoine Winfield Jr. in the top 10 ranking. This year, he was down significantly in each of those categories, yet received more than 60% of the first place votes. The reason is simple. His value transcends numbers. I think that's the argument we're making as well about Jesse Bates being part of this conversation, and that just adds to the frustration.
Yeah, but Jesse's numbers didn't dip that much. I think Jesse's interceptions went down, but he still created 8 turnovers with the way he was able to knock the ball. I don't know. It just feels like Kyle Hamilton got this because people felt like he should have been voted this last year, and now he got it this year. There's no good – nothing in this article says why he's the clear front runner for 1. In fact, one of the things said about Brian Branch was he's been asked to do a lot in his first 2 years, and he's handled it all well. Yet some people think he's not even shouldn't even be on the list, according to that fact that some people had him off of their top 10. I don't know who – I'd love to see the name of the 70 people, and you'll never see it because some of these are clearly executives.
Yeah, and look, just, you know –
and the scouts.
Kind of, push back on the feeling that I'm being just the ultimate homer. Antoine Winfield, who was number one on this list last year, has slid all the way down to seven.
And he didn't play. I think he was out. He missed some time.
He did, and he had a lot of injuries last year. And I think that when you look at that, you know, it says at the bottom, voters are largely willing to give Antoine Winfield a pass for last year. You know, he's still in his prime. Then what are we doing with the Kyle Hamilton thing being at one? Like, why is it, you know what I mean? And that just speaks to my, and I think Tampa deals with a lot of same things that Atlanta does in terms of the national outlook. Why is it that you're going to look past a dip in production from Kyle Hamilton and rank him at number one, and Antoine Winfield, who had the injuries and dealing with everything he did last year, has slid all the way down to seven? And there is somebody on here, just like Jesse Bates, that had him unranked in their list.
Yeah, that's, you know, they had Winfield unranked. Guys had Brian Branch unranked. So did Kirby Joseph came on here. He people had him unranked. But, like, Derwin James was lowest ranking, was ninth.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it just – like, Buda Baker at eight, I'm just not a huge Buda Baker guy. Maybe I'm a little unrealistic. Maybe I'm just a Cardinal hater. I don't know.
Might be. And, look, we'll get to see Jesse Bates live and in person coming up pretty soon, because Falcons training camp is coming from July 24th through August 13th. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game brings you exclusive on-site coverage of Falcons training camp with the morning shift, the steakhouse, and Andy and Randy broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. And when practice wraps up, join Dukes and Bell at Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. Coverage is brought to you by your North Georgia Honda dealers and by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party. Live coverage of Falcons training camp starts July 24th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I personally cannot wait That. Going to be my first training camp. Coming up next, the NFL Players Association and the NFL collusion situation we were talking about yesterday. Got some more tentacles to talk about. That'll be in the front page. And we've got my Allie Mack drop. Fresh new rookie report for the morning shift. Somebody forgot we were on the radio this week. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app. I'm on the radio.
Yes.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we are the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I've got Mike to my left, Bo across from me. I'm Allie Mack, and Dylan is behind the glass. Now, last night, Braves did lose to the Athletics 5-4. It was a walk-off situation. It took 11 innings. They will head to St. Louis today to face the Cardinals with Grant Holmes on the mound. Did you guys – I mean, that was a late, late game.
Yeah, I watched some of it, and then I turned it off because I got pissed off. I'm not going to lie. I just got mad. Strider struggled early, but then he really locked in. People don't want to hear this, but Spencer Strider's in some ways learning how to pitch again with not hitting 100 constantly, and he might come back next year and be able to hit 100 again.
I genuinely hope he doesn't.
But I know he gave up a 3-run homer in that first inning, and because he walked the guy and everything, just was all over the place. But then to get 11 strikeouts and go pitch another 5 2/3 after that first inning, he ended up pitching 6 2/3 and almost made it through the seventh. I just find some good in that, because I think that next year you're going to see a better version of Spencer Strider than we've probably ever seen.
I agree. I honestly want him to learn to pitch. I hope that he is learning to pitch again, because I want to see him start hitting spots a little bit better. You mentioned the home run in the first inning. Slider just left over the middle of the plate. There was another fastball, I think it was to Rooker, that just was ripped in that inning. He had his ups and downs. There was location struggles throughout, just obviously a handful of walks and things like that. But to Bo's point, he battled through it, and he was able to at least get, you know, a quality outing out ahead of him, and gave his chance a chance to win.
You said pitch again. I think he's learning to pitch for the first time, because I think, and I know you didn't mean anything by it, but like I think that he's always just been able to rely on being a two and a half pitch guy and just throw it by guys. You know,
didn't you say pitch again?
No, I'm saying to learn how to. Well, you said pitch again. He's learned how to. You said to my point, he's learned how to pitch again. But I think he's just learning how to pitch for the first time. I think so many guys just throw.
Definitely him, and he was a thrower. And I agree.
It's cool to see because it felt as bad as it's for this team right now. I felt like he grew up. He's growing up literally as a player in front of our eyes. I'm actually starting to get excited about him now. Because he's just becoming an all-around better player.
Well, hopefully we can win this series against the Cardinals before the All-Star break. Speaking of which, the home run derby list has been finalized. Of course, it is Ronald Acuna Jr., Cal Raleigh, James Wood, Byron Buxton, O'Neill Cruz, Junior Caminero, Brent Rooker, and Jazz Chisholm. I really would like Ronald to take this one. Especially since Brent Rooker is in it.
Yeah. Give us something good to feel about. We were all just talking about Byron Buxton being a part of this. He's a Georgia native. Baxley,
yeah. Georgia. Right.
I'd never heard of Baxley, Georgia until yesterday when Byron Buxton was announced. I did not know where that town
you've
was.
You've never went from 75 on 341 to Brunswick then?
I guess. I probably have, but yeah. I can't say that I wrote down Baxley and was like, oh, I'll remember that place.
Yeah, I got to come back and visit.
that's the spot. No, I didn't. But I think it is cool that there's a Georgia native, and that was like the headline yesterday when he was announced. So I'm excited. I love the Home Run Derby. It's one of my favorite events every year. I hate the fact the format changes up every now and then. I hope they never change the All-Star Game format. I don't need the captains thing and all that other stuff going on, but... Yeah, I was reading back up on the format, three-round bracket-style format with eight participants. Obviously, the first round, all eight players will have 3 minutes or 40 pitches, whichever comes first, to hit as many as possible, a bonus period. You know, it's a little bit gimmicky, but no matter what, the Home Run Derby always, for me, is must-see TV.
Yes.
Always is.
Oh, it's so fun. Well, we were talking yesterday about the NFL and the NFL Players Association collusion case. It turns out the NFLPA Executive Director, Lloyd Howell, works as a part-time consultant for a private equity fund that has NFL ties. Why is this a big deal?
Well, the big deal is that group, the Carlyle Group, is one of a few select groups that has been league approved with private equity firms that can seek minority ownership in NFL franchises. So in other words, he is advising people on how to become owners. He's being paid essentially by ownership. If that group was to buy a stake in a team, he is literally working for ownership while leading the NFLPA. And I'm not trying to say that they don't work together, the PA in the league, but they are adversarial. One is out for the best interest of the ownership. They'll tell you the league, but the ownership. And the other is out for the best interest of the player.
Yeah.
It's not a friendly thing, okay? Like, Goodell, one of Goodell's main jobs as commissioner, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong, Mike, is to be the middleman, the go-between, to make these two guys, almost an arbitrator of sorts, to work things out. So you don't have to go hire an outside arbitrator to work these things out.
Even though they do most times.
I was
going to say, this might just be the player perspective of me. I never thought of Goodell as a go-between. I thought of him as the union leader for the owners. That's just how I always like.
That's an interesting way to put it too.
Yeah, they go to me. Him and Lloyd Howell are kind of opposites of one another, and kind of have to work hand in hand. And it is interesting. ESPN reported yesterday that there were from sources, quote unquote, that there are multiple people that did approach him. A senior union lawyer spoke with him about whether it was appropriate, and actually asked him to consider resigning from the private equity firm to avoid the appearance of conflict, and he declined. He was like, "Nah, I think we're good." You know, he could not be reached by ESPN is what the story says. I wouldn't be one to be reached either. And I said this yesterday on the show, and I'll say it even threefold today. He's cooked. You can't come back from this, man. Once those players start second guessing whether or not you have their best value, their best interest in mind, you're cooked, man. You got to be removed from the situation.
Well, yeah, he's done.
The Thunder signed Jalen Williams to a 5-year maximum rookie contract extension that could reach $287 million. That means The Thunder now have SGA, Chet, and Jaylen all under contract for the foreseeable future with deals that could total up to $822 million.
They are clearly making a push to be the next version of a dynasty, so to speak, like a Golden State. We've seen, obviously, the Spurs do it. The Bulls obviously did it for 6 out of 8 years or 7 years. I know there's a lot made real quick about the move from Seattle still. I mean, I know Andy Bunker, who obviously hosts Middays with Andy Randy 11 to 2 every day, is a Seattle guy, and he hates the organization because of it. But I'm not sure if there's 5 better-ran franchises in the Oklahoma City Thunder and the NBA.
I completely agree.
They did a rebuild right. They ran incredibly efficient. Smart, they know how to handle things.
Yeah, on the opposite end of that spectrum, I had noticed that Herb Jones signed a 3-year, $68 million contract extension with the Pelicans yesterday. If you'll remember, there was a number of people with Herb Jones that kind of would have loved to see him land in Atlanta. He's one of those defensive guys that can really shoot it as well, and he's a lockdown defender. I love seeing him get the extension, but I was almost shocked. The Pelicans seemingly do nothing right. I don't know that the numbers add up, but I was like, man, good for them. They actually got one in their corner because I like Herb Jones as a player. He's very valuable in that aspect. So, yeah, a lot of cool things running down the road with some of those guys getting their money, getting their bag.
Well, it always hits me when I'm reading these contract extensions, these deals that happen. I'm like, why was I not athletically gifted?
Right? Like, especially in basketball.
Seriously?
Especially in basketball. You're like, dude, there is a lot of money out in the NBA, man.
Y'all still think there's hope for me? I had my rec league game last night, put up a solid 14. Yeah.
You know what's funny is no, but I also am the same guy that told a buddy of mine who plays in our league, MGA, that he had Tommy John surgery. And I was like, did you get the brace surgery? And he was like, no, it was really more clean. I was like, good, because if you got in the brace surgery, you know, most Major League Baseball pitchers can never pitch again. Yeah. And he was like, well, that'd be good if I was a Major League Baseball player.
Look, we do the iRacing. I still say I'm training for my NASCAR career.
Well, you know what I mean? You know
38.
What?
I'm like, I'll get there when I'm 60.
Anything is possible.
Well, anything is possible.
The way you drive these days, you definitely make a role for an Austin Dillon or Ross Chastain just running over people.
I'm here for it.
All right. Any guesses on who forgot we were on the radio?
Probably
yesterday?
Me.
It's probably me.
Let's get into it. First, I want to start with the enigma that is Mike Johnson.
Oh, God.
Because.
Oh, God.
Because when it was coming up on NASCAR and you guys are packing, getting ready to go, you were so chill.
You're yeah.
Like, yeah. Well, there's a public.
Yes.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be all right.
It's no big deal.
Yeah.
You're probably that kid in school that could just like stuff papers in your backpack.
100%. Walked in every day with a number 2 pencil.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts because I have to over prepare for everything in life. However, you are extremely concerned about packing for the beach.
That's a whole different thing.
What's the difference here? Because there's still stores in it, wherever this beach is.
You
want to
know what the
store.
Difference is?
What's the difference?
One of them is about 4 foot tall. The other one's about 3 foot tall. And they're going to be riding in the back seat. We're also going to Fort Morgan.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you guys are familiar. So obviously down on that area, you got Perdido Key. You got Orange Beach. You got Gulf Shores. And then Fort Morgan is like Timbuktu. Like,
okay.
You are a 30-minute drive to a store down in Fort Morgan.
Is that the one, is that right there where it's in between, like, Destin and,
No.
Okay.
No, that's, you're thinking of 30A?
I don't know, there's a fort down there, or a military base.
I don't know, maybe Fort Pickens?
Maybe. I don't know.
That's all Pensacola. No, Fort Morgan is like, is at the tip of, like, Mobile Bay. Like, it's over in Alabama. It's like the
near
very tip
Dolphin
of
Dolphin Island?
Yeah, like, if you can get a ferry from Fort Morgan to Dolphin Island. Yes.
Oh, good. That's where we're going to go in September,
yeah,
I think.
It's, so. It's out there. So, yeah, I mean, if you're in Fort Morgan and the kid's like, oh, I forgot my floaties, you're like, son of a, oh, my God, this is going to take all day. So, yeah, I am overprepared for this.
A little more puckered about the.
Yeah, pucker.
About that packing situation.
Yes.
All right, yesterday we were talking about the NFL and NFL Players Association collusion situation. And, Bo, you seem to forget that we're on the radio. Mm. Let's go ahead and play the audio from yesterday when you were discussing this.
The head of the union probably called Roger Goodell and said, hey, call me on your burner. And they did, or they're sitting at a bench with their faces covered, like in casino, and they're like, hey, we gotta ixnay the hombre deal. We can't do this anymore.
Well, yeah.
What do you mean? It's a bad look for us. We gotta make our players think we're fighting for them. All right, well, and so and then they're going to settle out of court or some crap.
All right, here's what's happening behind the scenes.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Bo was mimicking walkie-talkies. But however, you have to change your voice. If you're talking in two different walkie-talkies,
yeah,
you have to change your voice because nobody can see that you're talking into two different walkie-talkies.
Yeah, he's doing the whole hand signal thing. He's like, you know, covering his face and he's talking in walkie-talkies.
And you could have added the little like at the end of each thing, like
over.
Well, I was really more doing like covering, you know, like they do, they cover the face with the toothpick.
Yeah, he was.
Like,
he was the the second baseman visiting the pitcher on the mound.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. He's
but you know what? Everybody's a nitpicker. I mean, everybody knows they can do everything. That's can do it. Everything else better.
No. Nobody can see us.
We need to get a video of that, of you doing the two different walkie-talkies. It was hysterical. Now, this last one is really just because I want to hear it again. Dylan has the most unexpected yet amazing impression of Tiffany, I Love New York, Pollard. I got to hear it again. He's preparing.
Oh. All right. Here we go. You brought me back here just to reopen this same wound, Flav. The same wound, Flav. Why bring me back here again?
I'm trying to think of what In Living Color character he sounds like. He sounds like one of the characters from In Living Color.
Homie, don't play that?
Yeah. Yes, maybe it is Homie the Clown. Maybe it is Homie the Clown. It's definitely one of those where, yeah, that's what he sounds like to me. That's all I hear.
I mean,
yeah, Homie, don't play that.
All week I've randomly had like Dylan's voice pop up in my head with the New York impression.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, like so good.
That's so spot on.
And out of left field completely. Well, thank you all for being a good sport during the rookie report. Over. It's over. All right, coming up, we're going to get back into some Falcons talk. Where do they rank in the NFL? We'll get into it next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app. Over.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.